Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I am your host, Allie, a board-certified behavior analyst. And today, we have a very special guest with us. This is my husband, Dee. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be back, hopefully for a full episode this time.
I'll try not to embarrass you too much.
Thank you.
So, no pressure. Today, we're diving into a topic that resonates with many parents, and that is not dying on hills. It's all about choosing our battles and finding a balance in parenting. Dee, can you start by sharing with what that phrase means to you, dying on a hill?
Dying on a hill is, it's about recognizing not everything is worth fighting for. You know, there's going to be battles, and you have to be like a general of the battles. Decide what you want to fight for and what's more important to you. You don't want to go over the hill for a little bit.
I don't know what you're saying.
But as parents, we have to pick our battles wisely. There's so many moments where we can get caught up in just the little things, and we forget about the big things. So, like, you're the general. You have to, like, decide what's worth fighting for. Like,
it's more of, like, what's going to be, like, in the long run and, like, what's going to benefit the kids. Like, it's not just about us, like, our pet peeves.
Good point. I agree with that as well.
All right. So, as a BCBA, I often see parents struggling with a big picture, so versus the small picture. So you can give an example of your own parenting journey on when you would rather not die on that hill.
Well, for the longest time, my son wanted to wear this. It was a superhero costume, and he wanted to wear it just about every day, no matter where we went, whether it be the store, whether it be going for a walk. He wanted to wear it, and it was a constant battle trying to get him not to wear it. And, you know, eventually I hit a point where, you know what, I weighed my risks. Like, is this something that's really going to affect everything in the long run? Like, is it worth the potential meltdown that I'm going through, forcing him to not wear what he wants to wear, you know? So something so small. So I said, why not? And it's a fun moment. I turned it into something cool. And, you know, we joke about it now.
And, you know, I went through a similar experience with the girls. Natalie always wanted to dress like a princess. So my oldest girl, when she was little, she would go to the grocery store oftentimes. She had her own grocery cart and would go as Elsa with a crown, and people often thought it was her birthday. I think she, in some ways, still thinks she's a princess, but it definitely was like a lot of fun for her as a kid because it just allowed her to be herself, and it was fun. It was just not worth something to fight over, really.
It's good. It's very good. You know, on the flip side, when we choose to die on the hill, like bedtime or screen time, it's crucial to be consistent. I think that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Because, you know, consistency is key with anything.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We want to make sure that we're consistent. One, you gave like a really great example earlier with the superhero costume too. And like there's other areas where we need to be more consistent. We choose not to die on the hill, like, you know, you've mentioned the bedtime, screen times. We can't let the small things derail the ability to reinforce boundaries that really matter.
Yeah, you know, it's about finding that happy medium, that balance.
Right.
That's where it's going to lie.
Yep. And the consistency is key. So when we're consistent with our limits, it helps our kids understand expectations. So we want to make sure that we're still parents with boundaries, but we also want to allow kids to have their own autonomy. So it helps our kids understand not only expectations, but also gives them some flexibility.
So as something I struggled with, you know, before I knew anything about the ABA field, and, you know, when I met my now wife, Allie, she was teaching me things that I just, as a parent, I was strongly against because I think it was not going to work. What are you doing? You know, because it worked on me, it's going to work on somebody else. And I was so, so wrong. And it's just amazing how, you know, it boils down to what we're talking about, dying on that hill, learning what's really big, what's a big thing, what's a small thing, and then finding that balance, that consistency. And that's something I struggled with tremendously as a parent. I still struggle with it. So how is something like someone like you in your field, how do you navigate through that? Like, I know, like, you've helped me tremendously, but like for your viewers out there, what's something that you could help them with? Biased, that I say, yeah. Like, you know, that it works.
Like, well, ABA is a science, so. You know, it's a science, like, way before, you know, but I do think too, like, the experience is good. And, you know, going back to the science of ABA, it's just the basics of focusing on the function of behavior, so why behavior occurs. So if a child's throwing a tantrum because they want a snack before dinner, I have to ask myself, is it worth it to engage in that power struggle? And sometimes there's some kind of, let's say like a compromise. Like we definitely want to be consistent and have like consistent expectations, consistent rules. But sometimes like, you know, kind of meeting kids just where they're at, I would say that's like one of the biggest things that kind of help parents too. And then I say we make choices like all the time. Like I wake up and I make a choice like every day I decide, even though I'm like, get really anxious about what I'm going to wear sometimes because I can't find clothes or whatever. But every day I wake up and I'm like, okay, this is the outfit I'm going to wear. I know I'm going to eat, or I can stop and get food or whatever. So every day I'm making a choice. So like giving kids a choice, I think is also so important. And also just giving the autonomy. So like if there is like any kind of power struggle, it is giving some of that control back.
That's a good thing. It's a compromising control, you know, because you want to, you know, you want to still want to assert that, you know, you're the parent, you have the control, but you also want to give the illusion of choice, I think, you know. And like, you know, for example, like say you want to, we want to have a snack before bedtime.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You want the snack before bedtime? Absolutely. But let me offer you healthy choices instead.
And I also think too, and I think that's true too, like we always say, okay, so like we're going to offer an alternative too, but we don't want the kids to be like, okay, like we're the parent, like we're the ones setting expectations, even though that like means true, like it's kind of true. Like we are setting expectations for them and like we're guiding them, but also coming off of like not authoritative or like a fear-based perspective, just being like, hey, like, you know, the rule, like that's, you know, kind of the expectations. So kind of having that rule govern behavior. And then also like what you were saying with choices, you know, having like a healthy snack. So sometimes can the kids have candy 24/7, right? Like those Nerd Clusters I found everywhere.
Candy salad.
Can we have that? Or one of my kids loves the Alani's. So can they have that every day? Absolutely not. Especially if there's empty can bottles all over the place. So one of the things to do is prevent that is to offer some alternatives. So you're still giving them like the opportunity to choose, but you offer an alternative.
I think that's awesome. And it's like, I want to also say, you know, the whole thing about dying on the hill, tying back into that is that, you know, as parents, we need to realize that sometimes, you know, we have to focus on self-care because I'm a person, I'm a human, we're all humans. We get to a point of the same thing starting to bother us, but it's the same thing we're trying to fix to correct over, or the same thing you're dealing with over and over and over and over again. It's never ending. You know, you get to a breaking point. So you, I think it's very, very important that whether it be the smallest thing of taking a breath for yourself, whatever calms you down, you have to focus on the self-care.
Yeah. And I think more than just true, like we want to make sure that we're taking a breath, that we're able to, because we want to demonstrate like, okay, like go take a break. We want to demonstrate like how we take a break. But we also want to be able to like just take time for ourselves, not even in obviously in a stressful situation, but in a non-stressful situation too, to be able to have that time to take care of ourselves. And it's so funny because all like a lot of the guests I've had on, we've all kind of like brought up self-care and how it is important to like ourselves and also to like the parents that we work with too, that you need to find some way to do something just for you. Like how important that is.
Absolutely. Absolutely important.
I just started something for myself. So.
Yeah. So if you guys see any bruises.
I started boxing. So that's what we're talking about. Self-care. I was originally going to do it with my son. He bailed on me. So now it's just me boxing. So that's one way of self-care. And also I think a lot of weight. A huge stress relief too, and being able to just take care of myself and live a healthy lifestyle.
Definitely, it definitely helps the healthy lifestyle. And you know, it's so true about the whole boxing thing and self-care, because at the end of the day, you know, when you take care of yourself, you're open to different perspectives, and you know, you can focus on what really matters.
Right.
Because you're, you know, a calm mind, you're able to process things with 100%, and you know,
yeah.
No one really likes working under stress.
Right, nobody does. Yeah. And what do you do? What do you feel that you do for self-care? And I don't just mean like taking breaks. Like, what do you do for yourself? Or what do you want to start doing for yourself for self-care? Because I know that something, that balance is something that we all struggle with.
It's tremendously, yeah. Especially with work and family and all that. I mean, lately, I've been a little bit of a nerd. I've been reading a lot. Something I haven't done in a long time. I've definitely been reading whenever I have a free moment, and I do want to start going back to the gym. Like you're doing boxing, I think that's awesome. You know, it gets the adrenaline going, helps
Yeah,
endorphins,
it's
just
a lot. It's
relaxes
a huge
you. It's
workout.
also healthy and beneficial. That's a great idea.
Yeah, no, I love it. And also another thing too, I just want to say, like, to it kind of help us with knowing like which hill that we want to die on, is laughter can be a great tool in parenting, plus sharing the load. You know, some of us, if you have like another parent or, you know, grandparent or somebody else to kind of share some of those parenting responsibility, can definitely take some of that off of you.
Yeah.
So leave it really stress, like when you're able to find somebody that to work with a team as a team, it helps.
It's good to have a good team. And you know, at the end of the day, it's about creating a loving environment for our kids and maintaining our sanity. And
Yeah,
that's the hard
that is
balance, but
sanity.
that's the goal, because we want to be able to not go cuckoo.
Yeah, you definitely want that. And you know, I think that's a good point when you said the maintaining like our sanity. So, but it definitely having like, I'll just give you an example. Today, the girls were fighting. They weren't fighting, they were just arguing. And they were saying, you know, she said this, and then I was able to, you know, turn the attention to the baby because the baby was doing something really silly. And even though they were both really upset, they were both able to like just break down and laughing because he was like jumping and like being all crazy and stuff. So we just all like burst out laughing. So it was like a great way to break some of the tension.
Definitely,
So if you
yes.
can redirect it, I love
Redirection and
it.
definitely laughter.
Yeah,
Gotta be
just
able to laugh at everything.
sometimes I always say like it's good to catch kids like kind of off guard too. So not always giving the reaction that they kind of expect or that they want you to have. So giving like a different reaction or finding something different to like finding a different way to
So, can you give an
make sure.
example?
Yeah. So like one example, so what I was just thinking about when I was back when I was teaching, when I taught in a private school, I had to give a kid a de attention a detention. So I had to give this kid a detention. It was kind of like one of the school policies. I can't remember why he had to touch it. And then he took my picture off my badge, and then put it in like Pokemon card and like printed it off and stuff. And you know, my power is detention and all this stuff. Because he was really mad at me. He was like legit mad at me, and he thought my reaction was going to be, you know, how could you do, who did this or whatever, you know. But I actually just posted it on the wall, and then I just started putting Pokemon cards like around it. So I thought that was a great way to redirect the attention. And actually, me and that student, like, we had a great rapport after that.
Yeah,
So
very
because
creative.
he thought
Yeah,
it was funny, he was just
that's
like,
hilarious.
you know,
He
because
gets a high
he
five.
didn't expect it, so he thought I was gonna be mad. He was like, that's what the expectation is too. Or I've had like kids like, you know, like go, ooh, like look at this lizard or something, which I love lizards and all that stuff, but those that don't know that might like be like, oh, look at this, like thinking they're gonna scare me. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Thanks for catching that lizard for me. You know, so it's a different reaction than what they're expecting.
Course.
When if you can make it into laughter, that's even better, I think. As we wrap up, what's one piece of advice that you would give to parents trying to decide which hills to die on?
I think just you know, take a moment, take a quick breath, and ask yourself: is this particular whatever's going on, is it going to matter in a year from now? If it's not going to matter, just let it go. It's not that important.
Yeah.
I think that's what that's would be me. And I, you know, it's okay to remember to choose joy sometimes over conflict.
Yeah, I
That's an
totally
important
agree with
thing.
that. I agree with that too. Like, I think that also creates like a very safe environment too. So I love that too. And I love that you said you're like in a year from now, like, is it even gonna matter? Like, is it gonna matter if your kids dress like a superhero or a princess at the store? Like, is that going to matter in the long run? Is it going to matter if they have a sugary cereal every day? That might matter in a
Little
year from
bit.
now. So there's different things that, you know, definitely that's a great way. I think that's a great perspective. So thanks, Steve, for joining me today and sharing your perspective on parenting with me.
Yeah, it's a first, and
It's
definitely
a first.
it's, you know, being a full episode, not clips. I definitely was very nervous, but you know, thank you for having me on here, walking me through on, letting me share some experiences, and you know, hope to be back.
And also, thank you to all our listeners for tuning in to ABA Mom. Remember, parenting is a journey and it's about finding balance. So until next time, take care of yourself and each other.